Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And once again, it is a pleasure to be with you, to spend these 60 or so odd minutes together and to discuss everything from current events to spiritual implications of said current events to everything else in between. There's never a formulaic approach to this program. There's never something that's etched into stone. Most of the time, there really isn't anything that I want to talk about specifically, except for the rare occasion like last week.
Radio show now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dar în ziua de astăzi să lăsăm toate la o parte.
But today we must put everything aside.
Să credem că ne-am întâlnit cu Hristos. Era noaptea târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România mă urmări cu mașina să mă urmări.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu dispirat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va arde.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you?
Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to what in Wisconsin at least is a very gloomy, rainy, icky day. Yes, this is a recorded broadcast, but we are recording the day of airing, which is, we're already in September, kids. September the 10th, the year of our Lord 2020. Tomorrow will be September 11th, or as is known among most people, 9/11. It's been 20 years. Wow, we're close to it. Things have changed. But there is an old saying, the more things change, the more things stay the same. And though men have seen repeatedly how quickly everything can fall apart, how quickly everything can turn to naught, as it were, we still pursue the same things we pursued. We're still believing ourselves to be invincible, both as individuals and as a nation. And we're not accounting for the division that is being stoked, that is being fueled, that is being encouraged. Because even the godless understand that a house divided against itself cannot stand. It'll try, it'll hobble along for a little while, but eventually it'll give up the ghost. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, before we get into the program for today, and there's a lot of things I want to talk about. There's a lot of things I want to discuss with you, one of them being intellectual curiosity. The other being, I guess the best way I can put it is giving up the ghost before we see anything truly bad. And this is one of those things that Jesus forewarned about, at least in the book of Luke. He said that men's hearts would fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming. Men's hearts weren't failing them for what they were seeing or going through. Just the expectation of it was enough to make their hearts no longer go pitter-patter. And we're going to get into that, because for the longest time I wondered to myself, how exactly could that come to pass, where people get so wrought, people get so fearful that their hearts simply stop beating in their chest? And if all that we're fed is a constant diet of fear, everything that we hear from the radio, from television, from the newspaper, is the end is nigh, we're all going to die, there's nothing you can do about it. It's basically mainlining panic into your heart 24/7. If you want to calm down, if you want to breathe a little, if you want to learn to smile again, because some people have forgotten how to do it, turn off your TV for a week. Turn off the radio. Don't go to any websites. Just go outside, even if it's raining. Let the rain fall on your face. Look up to the sky, gloomy as it might be, because eventually the sun will shine on your face. You will feel its warmth. And, you know, smile. Learn to smile again, because, man, even believers, I see a lot of believers walking around like they're dragging millstones, just depressed and oppressed and sad and tragic. Like, why? What's the point? There is nothing you can do to affect the things that were foretold in the Bible. There is nothing you can do to affect what you will see and what you will go through. The only thing you can do is rest in the Word of God and believe Jesus at His Word when He says, not a hair on your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. These were the words of Christ. Now, I know, it's we like to think that with these two hands we can build new kingdoms, but guess what? If God is not for it, we labor in vain. Because the only recipe really is patience. By your patience, possess your souls. Understand that you must have implicit trust in God and his promises for you, that no matter what you think the future may hold, because we're not seeing it yet, the things that are truly heart-wrenching have not yet transpired as far as the last days are concerned. And I know, we discussed this. We went through this whole thing. Well, are we going to be here to see it or not? Well, read the Bible. Then you'll know. Now, before we get into it, I do want to thank Maxine Johnson for her beautiful card. You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. I will be buying somebody's groceries for the next couple days. Just random people in the store. So that's what I will do with your gift. Again, Maxine, I appreciate it. Thank you. I know it comes from the heart, but you didn't have to. I, as I've mentioned on previous occasions, I do this of my own free will, volition, without expectation of reciprocity. So let's put it that way. Now, let's get into this idea of intellectual curiosity, because we're still 2 months away, at least close to it, you know, 57 days away from the elections, and getting stranger and stranger, isn't it? I mean, the things that are coming out nonstop, day after day after day. And there are Christians who are adamant that, I'm going to sit here and stare at my navel. And that's between you and God. Again, when everything goes awry, don't come crying. You'll have no one to blame but your inaction and your indifference. But I do have a question for you to ponder. And again, it goes to intellectual curiosity. How come self-same people that despise you despise this president? I'm just throwing this out there. Everyone from abortionists to warmongers to witches to warlocks to pedophiles to pederasts to perverts and everyone in between detest this man as though he were the devil himself. And they're the same people that hate you with similar ferocity, similar passion, as it were. So ask yourself this question, intellectually speaking, because honestly, I'd be intellectually curious. Even if I was indifferent, even if I thought, oh, the man is irredeemable. Look at his orange hair. He's been married thrice. Can you believe it? Well, the guy who was, the dean, the head of the biggest Christian university, was just forced to resign or walk away or whatever happened because he enjoyed watching his wife with the pool boy, from what the news leaks have been. Every major televangelist that I know of, at least the ones that are a little older, have been through at least two marriages. So it's funny to me that the standard we use to judge a man that is not in spiritual authority over you, but is the president of the United States, the standard is higher for him in some people's eyes than it is for those people who are supposed to be their spiritual authority. Just throwing that out there. But just think this through, intellectually speaking. You need to be a little intellectually curious, because honestly, if you're not, then you're just going to fall for anything, you're going to believe anything, you're just going to drudge through life waiting for death, and that's no way to live. Life is a gift. You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to have joy. You're supposed to be curious. You're supposed to go, all right, this doesn't make sense.
Why is it that the same people hate me and hate this president? Why is it that it's the same groups of individuals who would rejoice in his demise just as readily as yours? Something worth thinking about. Because these things, my friends, will only intensify. They are losing their minds at the thought of this man being reelected. And once again, curiosity has to make you wonder why. Just ask yourself, why is it that they're so hell-bent on this man not being president for four more years? Why is it that they are literally willing to allow the country to burn to ash if it means there's a chance of stopping him from being reelected? You got to wonder why. If he was so inept and useless and of no effect, Why would these people be willing to destroy the futures of their children and grandchildren just to see him gone? So I need you to ponder that. Those of you that are on the fence, those of you that are saying you're not going to do anything because, well, what's meant to be is meant to be. Look, God uses people. That's all I have to say about that. God uses people. So maybe ask yourself what your place is in all of this. But back to this notion of allowing fear to dictate every aspect of our lives. In Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 10, once again, this is basically the same recollection that Matthew had, and now Luke pens what he remembers of it. In verse 10, Jesus begins and he says, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." See, we think it's bad now just because there's a handful of ne'er-do-wells in major cities burning things. There is no external pressure. There is no nation threatening war of yet. Just imagine if that gets thrown into the mix. And I know you're thinking to yourself, oh, they'll never go that far. They've been trying to get this president to go on a war footing with Russia for the last 3.5 years. They concocted an entire story out of whole cloth, meaning nothing was true of it. About Russian collusion and how this president is somehow Putin's puppet, just to try to get a rise, just to try to get us on war footing. So don't ever think they're not willing to go that far, because I guarantee you they are. There is something coming. There is a storm on the horizon for these people, and they know the only way they can avoid it is to get this man out of office. And I'm curious as to what it is, because it's got to be big enough to be worth all of this. It's got to be big enough to be worth seeing people homeless and destitute and jobless and hungry to them.
As yet, we don't have nations rising against nation or kingdom against kingdom. As yet, we don't have the great earthquakes in various places. As yet, we don't have famines and pestilences. And somehow believers are walking around as though this was the end of the end. And then Luke says something different than Matthew. Because Luke was a doctor. His way of phraseology was different than Matthew's was. And he says, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Interesting, isn't it? People are looking for meteors. They're looking for giant rocks to hit somewhere or other. And every couple of weeks, at least on my Facebook feed, there's countdown to the apocalypse, down to the end, countdown to extinction. And it's always like 3 days. And like, honey, we got to cancel dinner plans next week. And you know what? Next week rolls around, we cancel the babysitter, and there we are, still at home. Extinction-level event averted, apparently. And I kid about the babysitter thing. My wife won't trust anyone with the kids yet, so we haven't been out by ourselves as two adults just to sit down and have a bowl of soup and some crackers for, oh, I don't know, 6 years now. That's my life. And I'm still happy. I haven't taken my wife out on a date for 6 years. And we're still happy. But eventually the time will come, if extinction-level events does not occur, and we may go, you know, I don't, maybe just a Burger King drive-thru, get a bag of fries and just sit in the car with no kids talking, enjoying the silence. Imagine. That would be awesome. Anyway, for those of you expecting extinction-level events every 3 days, listen to the way Luke phrases it. But before all these things, before nation rising against nation, before kingdom rising against kingdom, before earthquakes, before famines, before pestilences, before fearful sights, and before great signs from heaven, before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion again. This current, I'm not going to call it a pandemic because it's not. Come on. The survivability rate, you can't call it a pandemic. But This current situation the world's been in over the last 6 months kind of gave us a glimpse into how readily what Matthew and Luke talked about can come to pass. They gave us a glimpse into the idea that though we might think that law enforcement is on our side, all you really have to do is watch some of the videos of what's been happening in Australia or Spain or Italy, where people get brutalized by police for not having a mask out in the open, even though they have notes from their doctor saying, he can't wear a mask. So the idea that this can never happen now or this could never happen here has died a quick and sudden death. We know that it's happening over something as ridiculous as wearing a muzzle. We know that it's happening over something as ridiculous as putting on a piece of tissue on your face that does nothing to protect you from anything. But before all these things, They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Some time ago, I was speaking at a church in Michigan, and I made the following statement. I said, enemy still has but one enemy. And the enemy of the enemy is the church. However else they try to, you know, circumvent the actual target, the target is still the church. And now we're seeing it in England, in California. Oh, Lord. Have you seen what's been happening in California? Churches being fined thousands of dollars for daring to have services. How long do you think it'll be before they start arresting the pastors of these churches? For what, civil disobedience, criminal civil, whatever it is. And it may not be this time around. It may not be with the coronavirus, because right now, honestly, people are over it. They're realizing that unless they're 95, have a bad ticker, and their lungs are full of water, they're going to do okay through it. I've known, what, 3 people now that have had it. Worst thing was loss of taste. One had a fever for a full day. But other than that, it's pretty much the flu. But that doesn't mean something worse might not be around the corner. I know, you're excited. I am too. That doesn't mean that, I don't know, come October, a new and improved virus won't make its way to our shores. And the death rate will be 5%, 7%, 10%. See, that's always been my concern with surrendering. That's always been my concern with surrendering freedom. That's always been my concern with going along to get along. It sets a precedent. It means it has happened once, therefore it will happen again. But before all these things, you have to contextualize the timeline here. Before you let your heart fail you from fear, you have to contextualize the timeline and understand that before these things, before the great earthquakes, and before just full-blown war everywhere, and before pestilences, and before the famines, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. Therefore, verse 14, settle it in your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair on your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. So I wanted to cover that because we need to reiterate the need for balance. When it comes to discussion of the last days, when it comes to discussion of
the end times, when it comes to discussion of tribulation, when it comes to discussion of persecution and everything else. See, there needs to be that happy medium between those people who don't believe they're going to be here for any of it, so they just la-di-da through life until it's too late. And those people that are hyperventilating on a daily basis, fearful of anything and everything, looking up to the sky for the big giant rock. By your patience, possess your soul. Because it's only going to get worse. See, by the time the return of Christ becomes an imminent reality, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear of the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven, or the powers of the heavens, will be shaken. So, if you think it's bad now, give it a spell. And some people look at what's happening with horror, wondering how it got to here. As the old song goes, dear friends, we've only just begun. But let not your heart be troubled. He who foresaw these events also foresaw your safety, also foresaw your protection, also foresaw your deliverance, because to assume or conclude that God foresaw all of these things coming upon the earth, to conclude that God foresaw what we just discussed at length and then did nothing to ensure your deliverance, did nothing to ensure that not a hair of your head shall be lost, that wouldn't make him a very loving God, now would it? So, knowing that he is a good God, knowing that he is a loving God, knowing that he foresaw all of these things, and that he loves you, and that he loves me, then what can we conclude? We can conclude that not only did he foresee our deliverance, but that he is able to deliver. Not only did he foresee our protection, but he is able to protect. By your patience, possess your souls. God got it. I, for one, still smiling. Why? Well, because God got it. Now, there have been a lot of things going on in this nation of ours, in this world of ours. Very little of it good, to be honest with you, but not as bad as it could be. So we're not going to get into everything, because, man, from now until Election Day, every loser with a grudge is going to publish a book. That's just the way it is. They're going to get as much media time as they can stay awake for, and they're going to say the most insane things they can say in order to get some notoriety. The latest thing, which has already been debunked, which has already been walked back, as it were, was that this president said that those who died fighting wars were fools or suckers or some such. If someone would have said Obama said it, I'd believe it. because his disdain for the military, well, was evident. But I've seen enough interactions between this president and the armed forces to, even before they started walking it back, even before they said they had no sources, even before, well, oopsie, you know, we thought we'd fly it up the flagpole and see if it stuck. Who was it? Dan Rather. How much do you have to pay a guy like Dan Rather to sell out to such an extent that he actually came out and said, well, you know, whether it's true or not, well, hold on a minute. What do you mean whether it's true or not? They reported it as fact. The paramount issue here is whether it's true or not. Because if it's not true when you made it up and you're a big fat liar, then all you're trying to do is besmirch the reputation of an individual with the armed forces. They know exactly what they're doing. Look, I guarantee you, at some point within the next 7 weeks, a new bombshell story is going to come out where Donald Trump said something really mean about Christians. Because they're trying to separate the base, those people that are intent on voting for him, from him, by planting these ridiculous stories. Look, most people in the armed forces, at least the grunts, that I know that I've spoken to, will be voting for this man because he's been good to them. He has rebuilt the armed forces. They've all gotten raises. They're doing okay. And so somebody had to come along. He called all the fallen heroes suckers. But nobody heard it. The people that were there that day didn't hear it. The reason the man didn't go to pay his respects was because there was a storm. And he's the president of the United States. And they said, nope, we're not going to risk it. It wasn't his choice. But they will continue with this nonsense. They will continue flying things up the flagpole. And guys like Dan Rather will come out, well, even if it's not true, it could have been. Excuse me? Hey, Dan, I heard you're a pedophile. Even if it's not true, it could be. You see how that works? This is the insanity that we're living in. People make things up. And then they shrug their shoulders and roll their eyes and go, well, you know, even if it's not true, it could be. But it's not. There is no factual basis for the things that you are saying. Therefore, you're a big fat liar. It's a lie. It's a falsehood. But they've lost their minds. And again, you got to go back to the why. Why? Are they so intent on making this man a one-term president? And it's got to be more than just the power, because they were mean to McCain and they were mean to Romney, but they weren't this level of vicious. This is last stand sort of stuff. This is burn the boats, kids, we're stuck here kind of stuff. And it kind of makes you wonder, what are they so afraid of? And again, it has to be more than the abortion issue. It has to be more than policy. It has to be more than the Supreme Court. Because the way they're freaking out about this man potentially winning a second term is personal. I've told you before that I'm a student of human nature. I notice nuance. I notice people's twitches and faces and facial expressions and whatnot. This is not about policy difference. They want this man gone for a reason that I will guarantee you we have yet to surmise or discover. But when we do, I think that there's a good chance it'll make your skin crawl if you're halfway normal. I got a feeling about it. It's not your run-of-the-mill corruption, and it's not your run-of-the-mill money laundering, and it's not your run-of-the-mill, you know, taking money from drug cartels. Whatever they're trying to keep buried, whatever they're trying to keep hidden, whatever they're trying to run the clock out on is something truly savage and disgusting. That's just my feeling on it. And like I've said, I've gotten it right often enough where I trust my gut. I trust my gut when it comes to things like this. We were going to get into 1 Samuel 17 today. Let's see. We have a little time. We may just do it. But before that, because I really do, I want to take an entire hour, either next week or the week after, just to stick, you know, just to focus on 1 Samuel 17. Because these like 10, 15 minute sound bites of the teaching, it's going to take way too long. We're still close to 1 million people filing for unemployment weekly. And the thing that nobody's taking into account, or very few people are, is that flu season is now upon us. And winter is only a couple of months away. And when your house is cold, and you have no money to pay for the heat, and you have no job prospects, you tend to get angry. This is why they have not thought this thing through. Every governor that is still insisting on a lockdown after all these things came out about the mortality rate, there is something more sinister going on here. Because if they were at all concerned about saving human life, well, kid, I got a plan for you. Shut down every abortion clinic. Boom, human lives saved by the hundreds of thousands a year, if not million. And we're not talking people in the twilight of their life who've forgotten their name and all they've eaten for the last 6 months is tapioca pudding. We're talking about babies who have their whole life ahead of them, who could be the next Shakespeare, who could be the next Nobel laureate, who could be the next brain surgeon, who could be the next, I don't know, international violinist. Shut down the abortion clinics. You've saved lives. But no. Even in the midst of quote-unquote a pandemic, the murder mills are still open. They're still doing brisk business. Now, churches, well, you know, churches are non-essential. Being able to murder a baby is. So, think on it, meditate, be intellectually curious, ask yourself the difficult questions, not the easy ones. Easy questions are easy for a reason. Ask yourself the difficult questions, questions that you don't know you want the answers to. And start out with why. It's not a rabbit trail, because I've had, well, I can go down that rabbit trail forever, but it's not a rabbit trail. It's discovering the truth. Why do the same people that hate you despise this president? Why do the same people that call you a homophobe and a zealot and all manner of things direct their rage at this president with a ferocity as yet unmatched? It's a good question. Because if the same people calling you xenophobe and homophobe and bigot and whatever, Nazi, or it's just, the names never end, kids. The names never end. But if the same people calling you these things are willing to forfeit their children's future to make sure this president doesn't get another term, you have to ask yourself why. Now, the big thing today is the fact that this president wasn't a fearmonger like the rest of the media when it came to this virus. And of course, they jumped on it like, you know, a toddler on a bouncy ball, because that's what they do. This is only the opening barrage. We've got 7 more weeks and change to go. I don't even want to contemplate the things that they're going to try to insinuate. Let's call it that. Insinuate by the time Election Day comes around. And all you have to do is ask yourself, why? And once you discover the answer, you'll understand certain realities far deeper and more profoundly than you would have if I had tried explaining them to you. Because that's the thing about truth, is when someone else tries to tell it to you, describe it to you, explain it to you, there is some sort of resistance. But when you discover it for yourself, then there's no resistance, there's no third party that enlightened you. You received enlightenment by your own due diligence, by being a Berean, by being someone that was intellectually curious, by being somebody that asked why. Ask why. Don't just accept everything, whether it's from me, from your pastor, from Dr. Fauci, or from whoever else. Donald Trump himself. It doesn't matter. If something doesn't ring true, ask yourself, why is this person saying this? Why is this action being taken? Why are my freedoms being encroached upon? Why is the Constitution no longer a thing, apparently? Too few people nowadays are willing to ask why. Too few people nowadays are willing to inquire as to the motivations of certain elected officials, as to the motivations of certain talking heads on television, because they're afraid of the answer. They're afraid of what they'll discover. They're afraid that that sixth sense they have, they're afraid that that gut feeling they've always had is actually true. And the world is far more wicked and the world is far more depraved than they ever wanted to believe. And there are many people today, decent people, who would rather live in ignorance of the truth than discover the truth and be compelled to act once the truth was known. They would rather stop up their ears and close their eyes and pretend as though what is happening isn't really happening, as long as they can stay comfortable for just a little while longer. As long as they don't have to do the hard thing, as long as they don't have to take action, as long as they don't have to speak up, as long as they don't have to be the ones in the breach, as long as they don't have to be the ones taking the incoming. And even when those braver than they stand in the gap and take incoming, and eventually so much is lobbed at them that they grow weak and wounded, even then, they can't muster up enough courage to defend the individual. Even then, they can't muster up enough courage to extend a hand of help and lift that person up, that person who's been standing there in the gap for months and months and just death by a thousand cuts, man. If we continue to be divided, as the church, as the household of faith, as a nation, as a people, the enemy will pick us off one by one. If we continue to be indifferent, when those brave enough to stand get wounded, then eventually there will be no one left to stand. Never stop being intellectually curious. And as long as you approach everything that you're seeing with the thought that when all is said and done, the intent is to damage the church. When all is said and done, the intent is to damage the household of faith. Then you will see the enemy's plan more clearly. Then you will understand exactly what is going on. And hopefully you will realize that silence is not an option, that going along to get along is not an option, and that acquiescence is not an option. See, this whole drama hasn't been about Republican and Democrat for a very long time. And those that are intellectually honest enough are beginning to verbalize just that. It's gone beyond the political parties, man. And as I said before, as I've told you countless times, the enemy is just hoping to keep you silent long enough until you are given no choice to speak. Well, like I promise you next week we're going to get into 1 Samuel 17 again. But it's one of those days in Wisconsin. It's dreary and bleak and dark. And I needed to encourage you to smile, to be joyful. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Without it, you are weak. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll be with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Thank you, Michael. Last night I was watching a documentary on World War II. 470,000 American soldiers killed in World War II. Defending what? Family, freedom, the flag, our heritage. The thought in that era of throwing over or destroying a George Washington monument or Abe Lincoln monument would have been considered treasonous. That's like Mike said. It's either now we stand up, fight, defend, speak out, or we stand silent and allow tyranny, rebellion, and anarchy to prevail. So, you know what? If you don't have the energy to vote, then don't have use any of your energy to complain about the results, because there's never a greater time in our history of needing every, especially Christian, conservative, people that fear God, vote than in 2020. And, you know, God does extend grace if the church would be, number one, repentant, humble, and I would like to say radically believe what they believe. Get their leg and their feet off the fence of compromise and stand for God. I've put out a couple albums on standing for God. And we need to stand for what we believe. We need to defend it. And we need to proactively walk with truth. So please take this show to heart. You know, Mike's trying to blow a trumpet and really tell people and encourage them to have, you know, fire in their bone. Stand up for what we believe. And what? For the heritage of a country that many have died for. And instead of letting the cities go up in smoke, let's have the fire revival in our cities. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast with Michael Boldea. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.